I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Jerry Yang's unlikely journey from a refugee camp in Thailand to the final table at the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Major League Baseball has announced the postseason schedule for 2011, and the big news is that at the very latest, the season will end on October 27th, so... What a sad thing. Goodbye to November baseball.
Well, it's nice to know that some things can embarrass Major League Baseball, and I think November baseball did it. Now, they can all go trick-or-treating with their children. This is sweet.
It is sweet.
This is family-friendly postseason scheduling. No, this is a good thing. Getting rid of the off days was a great idea. You cannot play baseball well in November as long as, you know, any team in the upper latitudes is going to compete. So, speaking parochially, it's good for the Red Sox and their fans. And speaking generally for baseball fans, you get higher quality play.
On Thursday, Tigers ace Justin Verlander became the first major leaguer to reach 17 wins this season. He's also one of just seven pitchers since 1969 with five 17-win seasons before reaching the age of 29. And it was his 100th career win, which Verlander says is no big deal at all. Why is that?
He said it was never a goal of his, and he thinks, I think his goal may well be 300 wins, and he may actually get there.
Rangers pitcher C.J. Wilson will be a free agent this winter. I wonder what happens if he gets signed by Oakland.
He's not going to go there because, as he put it, I hate pitching there. The mound sucks. The fans suck. There's no fans there. Now, this opens up the existential question.
Yes.
If there are no fans there, how can they suck?
Right. It's the old tree in the
That's right.
center field or something.
Is he saying they're bad at their jobs or something? Or they don't mow their lawns well?
They're bad
How would he
people.
Know they suck if they're not there?
This week, ESPN.com ran an article in which four anonymous relief pitchers accused a man in a white shirt of stealing signs from the Toronto Blue Jays outfield seats during a game in 2010. And so I assume Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos immediately launched an investigation.
Yes, and he said it was stupid and has a lot of holes in it, the story, not the white shirt in particular. These are one of these great baseball stories that I hope they never find the answer to. You know, I hope the next time that one of these teams comes in and plays the Blue Jays, everybody in the outfield wears a white shirt.
Well, what I liked about this was there was a picture of the center field bleachers on the web the other day with a guy holding up a huge sign that said, fastball.
Between this and Tony La Russa accusing the Brewers of sending sending subliminal messages through the lights on the scoreboard, baseball's getting wonderfully silly again.
We still have a few weeks before the college football season officially begins, but do you have a favorite entry among the Athlon Sports College Football's 2011 all-name team?
Well, there are a lot of ones. Actually, there's one locally at Boston College, a wide receiver named Spiffy Evans, which is good, and Philander Moore, that's not, Dreamius Smith at Kansas. Sir Gregory Thornton among your royalty, but
Navy has a guy named Wave Rider.
My favorite one is a second generation.
Oh yeah, I know which one this is.
Who is at the University of Buffalo? His father played at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, terrific Mons the Second.
Yes. You don't let that name fall by the wayside.
Absolutely not. I hope I live long enough to meet wonderful, terrific Mons the Fourth.
Under new rules instituted by the NCAA this week, Charlie, schools that don't graduate enough players will not be eligible for postseason play. I know you're not a huge fan of that venerable institution, but is this a move that makes sense?
Yes, this is the Academic Fraud Protection Act of 2011. You'll be amazed at the graduation rates over the next few years.
I'm sure. UConn, the winners of the men's basketball championship last year, by the way, would not have been eligible to play under the new rules.
Oh,
so
they'd have found a way.
I'm curious about whether there are job openings for academic tutors in Stuart's, Connecticut this week.
I don't know, but if I had a bunch of sociology 101 term papers, I could make a lot of money next year.
European basketball teams are still doing their best to attract NBA talent in the wake of that league's lockout. What do you think of the pitch currently being made by England's Cheshire Jets to one Ron Artest?
They're going to turn him into an international man of mystery, baby. They're going to help him with his music and movie career.
Excellent.
I don't know that Cheshire is noted for its being a hub of the UK music and movie industry, but apparently they have ambitions.
There were two significant occurrences during the first round of the PGA Championship in Atlanta. Steve Stricker shot a major record-tying 63 on day one, and Tiger Woods shot his worst round ever at the PGA Championships, a 77. Which is more significant?
Well, I think ultimately it will be Tiger Woods, because it's further indication that he has a long way to go before becoming even a competitive championship-level professional golfer anymore. Steve Stricker shoots a 63. He could shoot an 83 on Saturday. It's the way these things go. It is interesting, though, that 63 has turned into the four-minute mile. You get to sit there with a chance of 62, and nobody ever does it. He missed an easy 10-foot putt that would have become the first player to shoot 62 in a major. In the majors, that is now the barrier. It's like the sound barrier.
Mr. NASCAR,
uh-oh,
I hate to bring to your attention a situation that might embarrass your sport, but what the heck has been going on with the pit crew for Juan Pablo Montoya's Sprint Cup team?
Well, they've let their entrepreneurial freak flag fly, Bill, and they've been smuggling dope all over the country. The front tire changer was one of two members of Earnhardt Ganassi Racing who were arrested for trafficking 10.5 pounds of marijuana that they apparently mailed from California through a national carrier. Never a good idea. By the way, they both likely face suspension under NASCAR's drug policy. You can't get anything by NASCAR, no. I'm telling you.
I'm told that there is a huge interest in beach volleyball, and I don't doubt it. And I'm also told that there's a considerable interest in the backside of the bikini bottoms of the beach volleyball players.
Yes,
interests intersect exactly?
The interest in the backside of beach volleyball players, Bill, is sort of an ongoing concern. But now someone's found a way to commercialize it, which is they put a quick response or a barcode on the bikini bottoms of the players, and then you can photograph it on a smartphone and take the user to a specific website, which will be printed on the back of the bikini bottoms to ensure it catches the eye of spectators.
I think this means it's my turn to say...
Sports!
And finally, Charlie, a fellow in Argentina named Walter Rotundo recently became the father of twin daughters, so congratulations and good on him. And I sure hope his wife is a soccer fan, because his daughters' names are...
Mata and Donna, both of which are beautiful names. He said he did it because he, quote, owed two goals to the English, unquote, and I hope they follow their namesake in name only.
Charlie Pierce.
Otherwise, they may wind up working for Earnhardt Ganassi Racing.
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, among other books, and he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill. Cuando solamente la mano de Dios podrá separarnos. Cuando tú